is for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
The Lions are off the back. The Warriors have been slain by the Bairns of Falkirk. And it's a good place to be in. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm John McInally, your host, and as ever, joined by the Ginger God of Pod, ready to discuss both Livingston and Stenismuir and look ahead to Dundee, and we're absolutely knackered. It's Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Yeah, it's been a long-ass work day today for both of us, and we sit here, what is it, 8:15 on a Monday night, and yeah, listen, the good news is we've got two wins to talk about, but we're tired as hell. We're tired.
I mean, who decided to put a game of football on at 7:30 on a Sunday, and who also decided to go to extra time at that time, right? And then on top of that, who decided to go out drinking at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, the last one was us, but the rest of it's not on us at all. Brilliant. Listen, really well hosted yesterday.
We had the Falkirk Daft Gaff at McInally, Casa McInally, yesterday ahead of the game. Some well-kent faces there, thanks to Brian Flynn, our sponsors behind the wall. He popped up and he brought Venom with him. Excellent work, Brian. Because I had all the thing is, though, like, when you have a party, like, because I was like, I had two kegs of beer. As much kind of spirits as you could had, I had, you know, mixers, and then everybody popped up with like loads of beers, vodka, gin, Morgans, and now I've got a house full of alcohol, like,
which is never a bad thing, never a bad thing.
I know, but no, it was good. It was, and then we went down to the Cricket Club. Thanks very much to John McNeil, who's at the Cricket Club. Big chat yesterday. We went to Cricket Club ahead of the Stenismuir game, that we are going to have a Falkirk Daft versus Stenismuir Cricket Club match.
As in, not cricket, though?
Yes, cricket.
John, we've spoken about cricket before.
Listen, I can't play it, but as John says, it's more of a social occasion. So we've managed to rope in Stenismuir Cricket Club captain and Andy Rogers' brother, Nicky Rogers, is going to play for the Falkirk Daft team. And then we need to recruit cricketers now, Ross. This is the thing.
Jesus, right.
Well, Scott, who was on a couple of weeks ago, he's a cricketer.
All right, okay, fair enough.
So we only need 11. We only need 11 bodies. And, like, as long as we've got a decent bowler, someone that can bat, the rest can field. It's like rounders.
Right, okay. I don't know the first thing about cricket, to be fair. So, yeah, okay.
I'll need a couple overs, Ross. You can bowl a couple overs. 20-20. So it's 20 overs, 20, and you bowl six.
Listen, I'm for time for Hill originally. I know my way around a cricket bat, right? So,
so we're just talking about that. Details to be confirmed, but if you are a cricketer, we're going to need your help for that. We'll get it nailed down. But Cricket Club, thanks very much for having us. Obviously, we're doing hospitality there as well as a station.
Oh, I'm all right. I'm up for that. Yeah.
All right, okay, brilliant. You're all right for that. But I know it was. Thanks for having us there. And yeah, good day, good weekend. But we're absolutely knackered here, so we're going to rush through this podcast. Apologies if it's not. We've not got a guest pundit. We've not got anybody to preview the match. So it's just me and Ross talking shite for the next 40 minutes. Hopefully, only 40 minutes because we want to get to our beds. I haven't even had my dinner yet. I've been in at work the day. I was up at 7:30. Started my work then. Drove through to Glasgow, didn't finish till 7 o'clock there, and now it's 8 o'clock, and I'm just knackered.
I bet you shouldn't have even been driving either after yesterday.
Oh, no, I watched myself. I was keeping track.
I was keeping track, so I was okay, all right as well.
But listen, before we get into the games, we've got to say thank you very much to our sponsor, of course, of this week's episode. It is Rumour Architecture. Ryan has been on the go for 5 years. He's fully chartered and accredited, and the only Falkirk supporting architect in the town. We're going to say that anyway.
Which makes him the best architect.
Which makes him the best architect. You'll see some of his jobs. We spoke about that. He certainly, Scott Henderson, Crunchy Carrots, speaks very highly of him because he did Scott's new building next to behind the wall, the old Leckie's shop, and of course the houses across where the old Wallace Club used to be. And he's got a listener offer if you're looking for a job, looking for an extension, anything like that. He's going to give you 10% off just for listening to Falkirk Daft. All you've got to do is say to Ryan, "I listen to Falkirk Daft, Ryan. I'm also a Falkirk supporter." And he'll give you 10% off your next project. What an absolute win for you.
Small story there. So we had a certain person at your gaff yesterday, or party, sorry, no gaff, I hate that word.
I know, it's an empty.
Asked a certain owner of Haldane Construction if she could get her 10% off, and she realised she was talking to the wrong person.
There you go, Peter, Haldane Construction, there you go. You could get a listener offer if you listen to this, Peter, as well. He was round at the gaff yesterday as well. Actually, he left his truck here, so I've not checked if he's picked it up today or not, because he left
his truck. Oh, as in like his car.
It's Haldane Construction.
You know, mate, I thought you were talking about like a wee toy car. What's that all about?
Actually, truck, and he's got loads of beers that he brought. Peter piled in with, this is what I'm talking about, piled in with like two cases of Desperado and Corona. I'm just like, what's all this beer? So, yeah, back to Ryan. If you want to get in touch with Ryan, get your 10% off rmar.co.uk. It's where you want to head for all your architectural needs. Not much happening club news wise at the moment, apart from the change to the ballot. The ballot, I think, might be closed now for Hearts. Is that right?
It was tonight, as in Monday night. So
I'm still not getting an email about that. I don't think I'll need to double check.
Well, you've had some issues with your emails for the club, haven't you? Do you get any emails at all, like the marketing ones?
I do, aye. So I don't understand why.
So if you're on that, you should be getting the rest. Double check your junk mail.
So yeah, I'm getting emails. I just don't. Anyway, I think some people have had. I saw the club put a kind of troubleshoot out about it. But anyway, yes, you've got that thing. But they're changing the way the ballot, Ross. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, I saw that. So there's a few different changes. So supporters who enter the ballot will be contacted either way, which is a good thing, because normally I think they were only letting you know if you were successful. The one thing I did see, and I know this was suggested by some, not by me personally, but I know it was suggested by some originally, was that those successful will be deprioritized in the next ballot, so that as many supporters as possible can attend ballot fixtures. So listen, I can see both sides of the argument. From that one, I get it. The one thing I do agree with, and I think the club could have maybe went one step further, as it says anyone successful in the ballot who fails to collect and pay for the tickets without contacting the club will be blocked from future ballots until the end of the season. Listen, I get that as well. But the only thing, why can't we just see if you apply? Mm-hmm. A lot of clubs will say you need to pay. You need to pay, put your card details. Like, why not do that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then the club's not losing out then, or... Anyway, so that's the only thing I think. I don't know, that's maybe a bit too much admin, but that's the only suggestion that I think would help stop people applying if they've no intention of going.
Yeah, and I guess the thing is, the other thing about it as well, people will go, oh, well, I don't want to go to the Hearts. They might put off because they'll apply for the Hearts ballot, but say, well, oh, I want to go to the Celtic, or because there'll be Celtic. If we are top six, the ballot games will be Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, I think you're fine. You'll be fine
with Hibs or Motherwell, I think. Assuming we're top six, obviously.
Yeah, assuming top six.
That's a good shout, actually. Some people might not enter Hearts because they want to potentially get to... I still think the Hearts tickets will go very, very quickly because it's Hearts at Tynecastle. One comment to everybody's spoken about the Celtic away game, right? But how important the ultras are to the atmosphere and the crowd at the last two games, because they were phenomenal at Livy, and like that was outstanding last night at Stenismuir as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, that's the only kind of real club news we've got. It's a bit boring admin club news, but there you go. That's how you get into the ballot and the change. And they're always listening to the supporters. That's one thing you can say about the club and the commercial department. They're always listening, looking ways to improve, and you can't really fault them. But people will, of course, find faults all over the place as that.
It was a good comms, though. Again, it was a good comms, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Birthday corner, let's go straight in there and say happy birthday to Evan Morrison, whose birthday is on the 13th of February, just before Valentine's Day. And that's from Gavin, Benham, Michael and Reg. Sounds like a gang of London gangsters. Govan, Benham, Michael and Reg. So they say happy birthday. That Ross got in touch with us. So happy birthday, Evan, on the 13th. And players celebrating a birthday this week. On the 10th, the one and only Farid El Agoui. How old do you think Farid is?
About. We must be late 30s now. Well, wait, no, it's 2026. He was with us. 2011, 2012. Maybe is he older? Maybe in his 40s now.
Decent shout, 41. On the 11th, back-to-back champion. Now, you know, never fall in love with a lone player. He was a great player for us and looks like he's going to go for a lot of money to a club come the end of the season. Luke Graham's 22 on the 11th. Big birthday for Sir Alex of Totten on the 12th. What do you think age Alex is going to be on the 12th?
Late 70s, maybe now.
80 years old, Alex.
Is he? Is that I'm up to 80
week?
Now? Is he? Bless him.
This
right.
Week. So
no, he's looking still looking good. I saw him on TV when I watched.
I saw him on the telly. Yeah. So that's actually he's if you see Alex kicking about tomorrow at the game, wish him a happy birthday for Thursday. On Wednesday. I wish him a happy birthday for Thursday because he's turning 80, the big 8-0. So congratulations to Alex. Hopefully I'm the big party. Colin McMenamin shares his birthday with Alex Totten. There you go. 45, former Stennis Muir striker actually, as well as playing for Falkirk.
Colin McMenamin, I enjoyed him in his spell. It was a short spell, but
he scored a few goals.
I better give a shout out for Thursday as well to my mum, Mrs. Wayne, her birthday on Thursday, and also my father-in-law, Arthur McInnes. There you go.
Are they share a birthday, your mother?
Share a birthday. My mum and my father-in-law both share a birthday.
Oh, really? That is really good. Does Mrs. Wayne listen to the podcast?
Occasionally, however, whenever she does, I usually get feedback for swearing.
Yeah, there are some episodes you really don't want parents listening to, certainly some of the content that we put out in this show. On the 14th, Valentine's Day, Nathan Fash Austin, 32, big Nathan Austin. Never really, you know, when we do birthday corner, it's always a nice way to look back, but Nathan Austin, he flat up to deceive a wee bit. There were some moments he really shone for us, and then other moments, you know, it was like...
Well, he came with a good reputation because he'd scored goals previously. He scored the odd goal. I remember my favourite one was, do you remember his goal against Dunfermline at East End Park?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a diving header or something like that, was it?
Something.
From memory.
Yeah. So Nathan Austin still kicking the ball as well. I think he's back at East 5 now, so 32. And Greg Shaw, remember Greg Shaw?
Always, yes, he was phenomenal. So he was big in the early 90s, so... He must be in his 60s now, I would think.
No, 56. You're doing the man a disservice.
Is he? Oh, so he must have been a young... Do you know, I would have had him as mid-20s at early 90s, although that maths is maybe still right. All right, yeah, probably is. Good.
Valentine's Day birthdays. And thanks very much to Behind the Wall. As I mentioned, Brian was up at the Gaff the other day there. He was going to the New Indian and Stennis Muir. I must try as well. I can't remember the name of it, but apparently it's very, very...
It started with an R.
It's on Trice Road, just past where the old precinct used to be. So I need to go and check that out. But yes, thank you very much Behind the Wall for sponsoring this podcast. As everyone, thanks to Brian. Remember, Buses, if you want to take that at Hampden, we won't get any Take That songs again because you were getting slagged rotten for it. £15 return on in June for that. And they've got ABBA Tribute Night in there on the 27th of March. And of course, as ever, you can get on the Coors Coach for all the away games and the home games as well. It's £5 return and you get your pint on back when you get to the pub. So Dundee this Wednesday and obviously Dundee United on Saturday. So get in touch with the pub, behindthewall.co.uk, or give them a call, book yourself on. You got your tickets sorted for the Hearts game, didn't you, Ross?
Yep, that's right. Yep, through Behind the Wall. And looking forward to it as well. Probably going for a bite to eat before the game, I would think, and a couple of beers, and then get the bus through. And as you say, you get your pint on the return. I'm hoping it's another positive Tynecastle result, all being well.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Let's talk Livingston now. It seems like an absolute eternity away, especially when you're recording at 8:30 now on a Monday evening. Going back to last week, midweek it was, off the back of the Celtic game. Couple of changes for Falkirk. Lisa came back in for Keelan Adams. And Finn Yeats got a start in the kind of deeper role as he came in for Dylan Tate. I was surprised about that change. I'm not surprised about Lisa, even though I thought Adams and was certainly in contention for Falkirk Daft rated a couple of weeks ago. But Yeats in for Tate, I thought was a surprising one.
The only thing I can think of was that there's a lot of games. So as you've said, we played last Sunday against Celtic, Livy on the Wednesday, Stenismuir yesterday, we've got Dundee United. So the games are coming thick and fast. And as we saw from yesterday's lineup as well, well, there was more change than that yesterday. But I think it was probably just freshening things up. Adams had done really well, and he had done well at Celtic Park as well. But listen, Philippe's been superb every time he's played for us as well. Yeats, do you know, I was shocked they brought him in the deeper role, because he hadn't played brilliantly again in that deeper role. Remember when he got that game against Dundee at the end of December? Anytime Finn has been playing really well since he's come back, it's always been a bit more advanced. Yeah. So I was probably a wee bit more shocked about the position he was playing rather than the fact that he was starting.
Yeah, but yeah, the change come. And we got right off the bat, absolutely flying it. And we all know the troubles we've had at Livingston. Obviously, it was Marvin Bartley's first game in charge there as well. And we came flying out the traps at them. And we were like a goal up within 6 minutes. Brilliant work from Big Barney, who I thought had a really outstanding game against Livingston. I thought his hold-up plays, flick-ons, just his general effort was excellent. And he did so much in this goal. Obviously, made the tackle. Louis Marsh, did he go for goal? Was it a cross? We don't know. You were trying to give him an assist for it, Ross. I think
he deserves the assist.
You think Louis Marsh got an assist for it? But yeah, a brilliant finish from Kyrie Wilson. I know, like, you know, in the post-match, John McGuinn had been asking that he had more goals for his game. Only scored in his debut up in Aberdeen. But it was a great finish right across the goalie and into the side net.
Superb finish, and as you said, John, a really well worked goal. Barney had another fantastic game. We'll come on to the booking he got later on in the game, which was a bit unfair. But Louis Marsh, like I know there is probably a bit of chat. Did he go for goal? Was it a pass? But listen, for the angle I saw it in the ground, I'm sure it was
a pass. Give Louis the benefit of the doubt.
And his assist rate is looking pretty decent, and he's obviously, we'll talk about it, but he got a goal too. But Kyrell, what a finish. And listen, it's been coming from him. Like we've spoken a lot about how he's got himself into some fantastic opportunities, but it's just the decision making or following it through has just not been there. But you can't say that about last Tuesday. I actually think he was our best player in that first 45 minutes, and I was gutted that he took a bit of a knock towards the end of it as well.
Yeah, Bairns, but, you know, we did all right. Again, we had the ball in the net from Barney Stewart, but it was ruled off. It was just slightly off, you know.
Great header. Dissimilar from yesterday's one as well.
It was a brilliant ball in from Calvin Miller as well. Outstanding
absolutely
ball.
So, oh, absolutely. So, so nice. And Barney's just, he's on fire, isn't he?
Yeah, because I mean, he had the assist for the actual goal that came, that flick on at the from the corner, which we got, and Louis was there at the back post, and like the defending from Livingston was terrible, but
it was.
Listen, he was there about the back post. Great flick on from Barney, and he just had to turn and hit the ball into the net. Louis Marsh, and a goal for him.
It was really nice, tidy finish. Listen, it came to him quite quickly as well. When you watch it back, especially, I think it was it maybe Ruby Adams or one of the other club videographers had caught it from that side, and it came to him late, as you said. Barney got a really good flick on, but so chuffed for Louis getting a goal. And I think that's the kind of thing that will give a young player new at the club so much confidence in him. And
I
I
don't
thought what
think
he
that
said,
what
the
young I
mission
don't
was
think that
alright.
lad is short of confidence, by the way. The way he plays the game, I don't think he's short in confidence.
Did you hear the ultra song for him last night?
No, they were going Louis Marsh for a bit, and then
Yeah,
it gives a go, and then that's all.
it was he's got shit hair, but we don't care. Louis Marsh.
That's got shit here, but we don't care. Jesus. We need to ask Louis about his, what's it up with the curtains. Brad Spencer's got it on the go as well. God.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe go curtains myself, Ross, and maybe try. I don't think that would
I'm
work.
not going to
No.
attempt that.
No, I don't think you could, mate.
No, not now.
We almost got another one, and we really that throughout the half we pressurised Livingston. We gave them all hell. They were all over the place. We almost got another goal, and it would have been an unbelievable goal right on the stroke of half time. As Louis Marsh, there was a nice little bit in our play. Louis Marsh finds Kyrie Wilson, and he almost scores on the volley. It would have been an outstanding goal.
Sexy ball over the top. It really was, and it deserved a finish. It deserved a goal, to be fair. And I think Kyle, he did everything right, as you said, first time on the
Well,
volley.
you see, he did everything right. He didn't score, Ross. He didn't do everything
Well, no, but
right.
like as an
Literally.
99% right. But it was a lovely ball, and for him to take it first time, that showed the confidence that was flowing through him.
Obviously, getting to the half, absolutely, flying, but then the second half, the fierce cricks in as Livingston go and get back in the game with 2-1. It was a really weird goal, a really strange goal. So Hendo went down with what we thought was a head knock, where it turns out like the ball kind of hit him in
His
the face.
nose.
Now, I don't know if he's played for the head knock to stop play, or if he's genuinely been like hurt himself and then just fallen down. But then obviously the way he's fallen down, he's played everyone on side, and McQuinnon, the ball comes back into the box, and McQuinnon's able to just not nick it past Scott Bain. It's a really strange goal.
It was a strange goal. I'm not sure he's. Like I don't, I think he's obviously he's hurt his nose, he's hurt his face, right? There's maybe been a bit of delayed reaction to it, because obviously when it first happened, he was still kind of up and about. He cleared the ball, didn't he? I don't know if it's like Hendo to go down. Like, why would he potentially risk
It just really strange. It was
the
really
ball coming
strange,
back in?
because then
It was odd.
you went back to the replay, because I was out my seat just going, "It's a head knock, referee. What? How can you play on da da
Yeah.
da da?" And then you see it back. It's actually just the ball's hit. It's maybe one of these sore ones that's hit on the nose, but I don't know if Hendo, you couldn't
I
stop
don't
playing
blame
because of
VAR.
it.
I don't blame VAR at all,
No.
right? Because VAR will watch it back. They'll see that the ball's hit him in the face. It's not a collision. He has continued to stand up and kick the ball, right? The biggest shock for me is that the ref didn't stop it, because 9 times out of 10, in that position, a referee will stop the game because they just can't take the risk. And I'd be shocked if he's looked at that and saw him get hit in the face with the ball, because there was loads of bodies there. So I think I'm more disappointed in the ref's initial decision rather than VAR.
Ethan Ross came on, like obviously you talked about Kyrie Wilson kind of taking a knock because he was going and obviously put him almost resting Kyrell. But
Yeah.
Ethan Ross came on. I thought Ethan was starting to show, like, he's had these injury problems, Ethan, and he's had that last season as well when he kind of had the injury, came back. And I thought he started showing a wee bit more, the more glimpses of old Ethan Ross, that whole getting down, cutting inside, and trying to curl one. And he was unlucky on a couple of occasions.
He was probably quite annoyed himself about the finishing, because he gets himself into such amazing positions. Similarly with last night at Stenny as well, could have had a couple of goals really. But yeah, listen, I love Ethan, and I think he's definitely got something about him. We talked about on the last podcast, or it could have been the one before, how he's maybe not been at his sharpest, but he's maybe just needed that extra few weeks training to get some sharpness, and he has been getting a bit more game time off the bench as well. So, listen, he's after what he did at the end of last season, he's always going to be a bit of a guy, a bit of a ticket, a bit of a legend. And he just needs a goal. I think he just needs that goal in the Premiership, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, just did he get one against Dundee United? He did in the first game of the season, didn't he? Dylan Tate,
Oh,
Ethan got, Ethan
you're
got.
going right back now.
I
Did
think
he
he got
get
one of the,
him?
and then he was unlucky. Obviously, went against Hibs when he went through, and he was, it was offside when
Oh, yes.
he was off, he
Yeah.
was unlucky with that one. But I think it was Ethan Ross and Dylan Tate in the first game, wasn't it?
Testing my memory now. Could
Right.
have been,
Okay.
but I think, listen, it's been obviously, even if it was, it's been some time, and he definitely just needs that. He's a right confidence player as well. But see, when he's on it, he's on it. And like, I know we're not reviewing last night yet, but Brad's goal doesn't happen without Ethan Ross doing Ethan Ross things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He was the, but the thing is, Livy at that 2-1 lead, they were back in the game. They, it was a bit end to end. They got the bit between their teeth, and then almost, Stevie May, like Scott Bain, didn't have. When I say Livy, I think it was just the nerves amongst the supporter. But like the only chance you can really man or anything that Scott Bain had to do, great save from Stevie May, and just goes to Scott Bain doing Scott Bain things, just able to get away. But I don't, there was a lot of kind of humming and hawing around the box, a lot of kind of defending, getting balls away, and just that fear that Livingston would do what Livingston do and get them. And you thought with Scott Arfield coming off the bench as well, oh no, this is going to be it's going to go from fairy tale against Partick to nightmare against Livingston. But they kept it being, and Scott Arfield didn't really even get a sniff in the game.
No, he was very, very quiet. But you're right though, when he came on, I think we all had that small feeling of we've seen this movie before, haven't we? But thankfully he was very, very quiet. How he didn't extend a lead against Livingston, I'll never know, John. Obviously,
Oh.
as we've said, Ethan Ross with a couple of chances. Finn had a really good shot from the edge of the box as well, but obviously Calvin is probably the biggest talking
Yeah.
point in that
I was like, when he went round him, I thought, oh, all he's got to do is just tap it in. There's Happy Gilmore. Tap it
happening.
in. Too many Happy Gilmore references in this podcast. But oh yeah, and he's gonna hit it a bit harder than I thought he probably wanted to. I did see that Calvin was saying that there was a lot more of the, in terms of the Astro, a lot more of the black balls that were down trying to blow it. I don't know if he can get away with that. I know he was really disappointed in himself, right enough. But yeah, no, it was a shame because, at 3-1, you're kind of coasting up the road and you're happy with it. But I just got a bit nervy near the end. We're bringing on Cole Donaldson and Lewis Nielsen just to shore things up and put in a bit of physicality just to make sure we're all right. But I want to just come back a wee bit from that point. What Barney got a yellow card for getting choke slammed off Ryan McGowan. What was that all about?
Absolutely shocking. What we've now seen the footage that Ruby Adams took, right? We've all seen that angle. At no point does he do anything to the defender. Yes, he's close to the goalkeeper to try and
Yeah.
stop it, but everybody does that. Listen, Chris Boyd made a career out of it. He then gets choke, as you said, choke hold, smashed to the ground. He gets the fucking booking, and then you've got what's VAR? What have they seen? Like, why have they? And was the guy not already on a booking as well?
Ryan McGowan, yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, he was already on. Was that him who did the choke thing
I
though?
think it was Ryan McGowan, yeah.
I'm sure whoever did it was on a booking, and you're like, how have we not got something here? I've no idea what VAR we're looking at. No idea.
Well, it wasn't VAR that got involved in it, was it? It was just
No, but
the
they could have
referee.
and probably should have. Like, why? Like, I know the decision would have been the referees to make, but surely VAR are in his ear saying, oh, by the way, that there's a camera angle here. Like, if Ruby's got it, how have the cameras not got it? And saying, listen, this guy has just been thrown to the ground.
I honestly don't know. I mean, it was VAR checks for both our goals as well, which was.
There was, yeah.
Which was I was like, how can, like, they were checking for offside for Louis Marsh. I was like, there's two men on the line or something like
Yeah.
that. No,
No, it was never going to not be a goal, but
I know, it was actually quite nice not to have VAR against Steny, but we'll obviously talk about Steny just in a bit. But yeah,
maybe we should have had VAR. Maybe there should have been VAR last night. They would have been doing it 10 men.
Oh, we'll get to that in a bit. Aye, but yellow card for Barney, which was a mental decision. But we got through, and thank God. God, it just felt a relief from the supporters at the end. Just it was that big lion off the back, and it's been something that's bugged us for the last season and a half. So hopefully now that's out of the way, we can just calm down a wee bit, because it felt like a big, big 3 points.
It was a huge 3 points, and there was relief at the end, not just because it was tight game towards the end, but as you said, like, Livingston have just been an absolute disaster for us the last year and a half. Falkirk Dafty has to be the Livingston social media prick again. Tweeting through the game, like essentially calling Barney a cheat, all the usual shite. Like, honestly, just fuck off.
Get up to Olivier Admin. That's
what's his name again? Is it Dave Badura or something like that?
Apparently, he's really, like, in terms of, like, I don't know, but he, like, does the graphics and stuff, and he, you know, he's a lovely supporter. But the fact that, and it always gets me, like, you know, when you're doing the social media for a club, a little bit level of professionalism, you know what I mean?
See if he was doing a podcast like us, just say what you fucking want.
Yeah.
But not like, not at that. And, oh, but then maybe that's, listen, we've said it before. He obviously just, he
talks like a supporter, and that's fair enough. He talks like a supporter, but like.
But he's obviously, the fact that he still does it means that the club approve of his comments. So, listen, classless, as always. Yeah.
There you go. Ben Brosio making his debut as well. I thought he showed up really well against Livingston. I don't think he showed up as well against Steny right now.
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed him when he came on. He got something about him. I think he was in maybe a better position against Livingston. He was playing in the hole. I'm not sure out in the wing is his game. But And it was never going to be that kind of game last night against Steny. But
I actually think it was the wrong kind of game to put him into, because you're playing, you know how Steny were great to set up, and he's playing against big lads. And I actually thought, this is probably not a game for you. I mean, fair play, he stuck to his task really well. But
he did, yeah.
Let's talk, before we talk about Steny, and let's get you some of your comments from last Wednesday. William kicks off, if you're going to put Martindale upstairs, why not wait until after you played the one team he has the Indian sign over? Thank God they didn't. Good win, but was closer than it should have been.
Absolutely. Craig says, streets ahead of them first half, second half turned into a bit of a battle. However, we thankfully held on. Hopefully the last we see of them for a while.
We, Tam, Livy are by far the worst team in the league. The Grangemouth Globetrotters should have won 5-1. Really need to be more conical.
I see Steny were coming out with the Grangemouth shite last night as well. Liam says, and he's a Livy fan, Falkirk are brilliant to watch. They play lovely stuff, and you finally dabbled a bit into the dark arts. First time I've seen you look prepared to play Livingston. Coupled with Livy being absolute dog shite, that helped. But as annoying as you are, well in for this season. Fair play, Liam.
Fair play, Liam. Thank you very much for that. And Paul rounds up saying, we did it at last. Relief. The first half felt like a training session. Lots of space, crisp passing, and plenty of chances. Interval broke our rhythm. Difficult to defend with Hendel lying face down on the 18-yard line. Brogio looks like another great addition. Steny up next, and that was obviously written. So we've got, we know where the Falkirk Daft is from Livy. Falkirk Daft rated from the Livingston match.
Do you know, I said Kyrell was probably the best player in the first half, and I think he was, but for his goal and his assist, I'm going to say Louis Marsh.
Louis Marsh. I would have went Barney Stewart, because I thought he was great at Livingston.
He was. He did very well.
He's, like, honestly turned out such an important player for us, as we probably saw when he came off the bench against Steny. But we'll give it to Louis Marsh, because with an assist, in inverted quotes, and a goal, I don't think we can't give it to him. So that was on Wednesday, and then it was a bit of relief as we went into the cup, away from the league action. And it was a good place to be, as we went to Oakleview, only 5 miles away from Falkirk and near my house, which was great because it was only 10 minutes walk and we had the party at mine. Six changes, not really unexpected, I don't think, Ross. Adams in for Lisa, once again, they kind of switched back. Cole Donaldson, first start this season, great to see Cole back with a captain's armband. And he started alongside Lewis Nielsen at centre-half for Hendo and Connor Allen. Brogio got his first start, as we mentioned. He was in for Kyrell Wilson. Dylan Tate was in for Finn Yeats as a change from Livingston. And it was big Brian Graham that was starting up top for the Bairns. What do you make of the team when it got announced, Ross?
I expected some changes. Don't know if I expected six, because I thought, based on John's comments, he obviously talked about the importance of the game. However, we have said this before, changing our starting 11 isn't necessarily making it weaker, because there is plenty of boys, if not the full bench, who if they start, we are still strong starting 11 there. And I know that was talked about, but I watched the game back when I came in last night, and I heard the big James McFadden, Scott Brown, these guys, Lee Miller, these guys talking about it. Falkirk have such strength and depth. Even that bit of a bell end, the Stennis Muir goalkeeper, was kind of talking about it, I noticed as well. So yeah, no, listen, fair play for the changes. Great to see Big Cole back in as well. Lewis Nielsen, listen, the two of them, they could have had a wee game of tiddlywinks between them at points last night.
I mean,
They did.
defending really, really well when they had to. They really did. They played a lot of the game in Stennis Muir's half, pretty much, Lewis Nielsen and Cole Donaldson. And as you say, it was good to see Cole back and with the captain's armband on,
Oh,
getting a start, and hopefully, he can overcome his injuries and then get an odd. I do think he'll find it harder to get into the team with Conor Allen and Big Hendo, the way they're playing. Did Hendo just get a night off, do you think? Because he wasn't even on the bench last night.
no, he wasn't. But I don't know if it was on one of the YouTubers who's put a video up today, or whether it was the club's social media stuff. I could have swore I saw Hendo in his tracksuit in the middle of the park before the game. So I think he was obviously there. I think he's probably just been given a rest. He's played every single minute of the league
It
campaign
seems
so
like he's
far.
played every single minute since we were in League One,
Yeah,
Hendo.
and I'd be shocked. No, I don't think he's injured. I think John would have talked about it, because John's like an open book. He would have talked about it. I fully expect Hendo and Connor to be the two centre halves against Dundee on
Yeah,
Wednesday.
we'll get to that, because it'll be interesting, your team selection, when we speak about that. But yeah, Stenny, there's not much to write home about this game.
Just fast forward to 104 minutes.
Pretty much, I mean, the Dan Jameson, who you mentioned, had the kind of double save kind of earlier in the game. We had, had Ben Brosio volleying after the Calvin Miller cross. We managed to get the ball in the net with Louis Marsh flagged offside. Did you? I don't know if VAR was there. I would like to see the lines drawn, because the perspective thing was quite interesting. But I
Yeah.
think, as it, if without VAR, it looked maybe offside.
You just need to go with the line with that one.
It
But
was nice, like I say, it was really nice not to have that worry though when we scored, like they were going to
well,
check.
that is true. Yes, that was a nice feeling that you didn't have to go, oh God, is this going to be ruled out? It was a very comfortable, like, I know it didn't always feel a comfortable night. My biggest worry was that it was going to go to penalties, because penalties is a complete
Yeah,
lottery.
I
But
think
I
my worry was the break. It was just them hitting on the break. But again, Colin Lewis defended really, really well
Yeah, mopped
whenever,
up.
as did Leon, and as did Keelan as well, and Philippe when he came on. But like, it was just that way. It's like you worry about them on the break, or they just get something, or they get a penalty from. But we kind of we what we did do is we kind of inhibited them, because Stenny, like when I saw them against Morton, they were very big reliance on their set pieces, and they got pretty much 3 out of 4 goals from them. But we kind of stopped that from happening. We didn't. There was one or two like silly fouls we gave away in the around the box, but it wasn't that much. And we tried to stop that kind of. They were throwing long throws into the box, but we kind of stopped. A lot of free kicks happening around the box, and stopped preventing corner kicks as well. So that was probably part of the. Not doing anything silly like that, because that when you get a set piece and the height they were. Anything
Yeah,
could be, and our Achilles heel set pieces as well.
I totally agree. And they did talk about that pre-match. Again, I can't remember if it was one of these YouTubers I was watching today earlier on, but they were interviewed, and they did talk about how the fact that set pieces could be a good opportunity for them. Having studied Falkirk, obviously they gave the other compliment, the other side. Listen, we've got a full squad there that can do damage, but they did look at the set piece situation. But as you said, listen, we were pretty comfortable all night, and it was really just a matter of when we were going to score. It's just a shame it didn't happen like 15 minutes earlier than it did, and it would
I
have
wouldn't have
stayed
been that
saved
doesn't
us.
have to go to extra time, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
But listen, I thought, like, hats off to Steny. Like, they defended in the banks of four, they defended really well. I thought Nicky Jameson and Gregor Buchanan at centre halves were excellent in terms of, you know, Brian Graham didn't really get a sniff. And I thought it was such a game for Brian Graham, and he really just he didn't get near it, you know, at all, because I thought they defended really, really well throughout the match.
No, they definitely did defend well. I was disappointed in Stennis Muir attacking-wise, because I thought, listen, because they didn't trouble.
I said it in the preview podcast, I was really impressed by Matt Aitken and what he did, but, they, you know, and then they obviously took off Dale Carrick as well. You know, and why, like, Dale Carrick was actually, I think he's a decent player as well, but
seems to have been about for about 45 years as well.
Doesn't he? But listen, I thought Steny, all credit to them, you know, and it's not it sound condescending anyway. I thought they did themselves proud in terms of the defending.
No, they did. They are where they are in League One on merit. If they do go up, good luck to them. Listen, it's hard being a part-time team in a full-time Serb. Now, granted, not all of the League One teams are full-time, but Inverness definitely are. And so they're punching there. If they do get promoted, though, they are going to have to do a lot fucking better with that turnstile situation.
I mean we were stuck outside for, you know, it was like we were the queue was right around. Well, we were smart, Ross. We stayed in the pub till about 7:20, and we came down, the queue started moving really fast when we came down, so we were only on it for 10 minutes. So missed the first kind of 5-10 minutes of the game, but we're watching on BBC iPlayer.
We obviously left yours. Well, we all left roughly about the same time, but we got to the ground at 7. So it's half an hour before kickoff, right? There was four or five years. And 20, 25, 26 minutes past, we got into the ground. Mm. Brutal. And as it turns out, they didn't open all of the turnstiles that they were meant to open. Plus, there was obviously some people getting searched, some people weren't, bonkers. So, yeah, listen, they need, if they are going to go up to the championship, they're going to need to do a lot better with bigger crowds.
I know, you could have went and got yourself a wee Tim Hortons. Ross, could have had a wee coffee in the queue, could have sent some.
I joined the queue at fucking B&M. I could have went in and got some shopping. That's where I joined the queue.
What the eye. So, I mean, the 90 minutes, there was much to talk about at all, really.
Let's talk about the goal.
Let's talk about the goals. Brad Spencer, let's talk about the chance he had before he actually scored his goal. About 2 or 3 minutes before he scored his goal, I was going, like, just someone score now. And Brad, it fell to Brad, and I thought, this is the moment. And I don't know what he was thinking. Like, the shot was terrible, absolutely atrocious, and it went miles wide.
He did talk about it when he was interviewed after the game as well, didn't he? Actually, I felt sorry for Brad, because not only did James McFadden call him out, like, obviously, Brad's like so excited about his 30-yard goal, and then James McFadden's like, did you feel guilty about having missed that absolute sitter? And then Barney, when they're talking about the second goal, Barney's like, yeah, listen, at least 50% of Brad's crosses are good. And then you just saw Brad's face, and like, fuck off.
I heard that from Barney, I thought it was really funny. It's like, but to be fair, Brad's delivery was like, sometimes last night we weren't beating that first man, and it was really frustrating. So Brad Barney called him out on it. I'm sure Brad will be having his, getting his own back for that.
Imagine the two of them walking back across the park, just wait till I fucking get you in that change room.
I know. like your dad, like grabbing right. Barney by the ear. Wait till I get
you. Who do you think you are?
Exactly. But no, listen, he had a big chance just before he got his goal. But his goal was, it was a great goal from you know, he was a lot further out than I thought when I went back and watched it on the telly. Like 30 yards, you know, between 20
minimum. It has to be 30 yards minimum.
Yeah, and like it's a great shot, and it's something you'd like to see Brad do more of, because he has those moments. There's been a few goals he's scored for us that have been really, really good goals, and you'd like to see if Brad can add a wee bit more goals, as Dylan Tate, you know, if Dylan Tate and Brad could add a few more goals to chip in, you know, and from those positions, it was good to see actually taking a shot and goal, backing yourself, and that's what happens when you back yourself, you score worldies.
You do, and he talked about it as well, didn't he? He just says, listen, we were trying to not walk the ball into the net, but as close as to say that without saying it, and he just thought, you know, sod it. We'll have a go. And there you go. Listen, it doesn't always pay off, but I'm so glad he took the shot, and he was a brilliant celebration as well. What that's what I like about the Terracing. I love Terracing. It's old school. Don't get me wrong, I could have been doing without standing for another half an hour at the end last night. I was like, oh, I just want to sit down. But the bounce about you get on Terracing after a goal like that is superb.
Yeah, no, it was great. Absolutely brilliant. And they got the goal, and then it was, you know, after that, Steven Smith, you could tell it just took the wind out of them a wee bit. And then a few minutes later, after the second half of extra time, we go on. Brad Spencer, very good delivery. You know, Barney was slagging off. He finally beat the first man, but it was a great delivery. And Barney just, you know, you tell it was, and I think they said in the interview afterwards, it was one that they'd worked on before. Barney runs off his man. Great header for the big man. He's such a good header of the ball, Barney. Great. Yeah. And the good thing about having Barney as well is, like, defensively, he's good to have in and around the box for defending.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big lad. And as you said, he's a brilliant header of the ball. And that's, like, I know the Livingston one didn't count, but it was a terrific header for that one. Brilliant header there. And that's him adding to the genre of goals as well. Like, you go back to the Hibs game, it wasn't three, there wasn't a header there. So this is him now showing that he's sort of developing his heading game as well. I loved it when he ran away into the corner, and there was obviously still loads of Falkirk fans in the Steny end because they were all cheering the corner.
Did he do the Vince McMahon stroke Conor McGregor walk as a celebration as well?
Oh, I never noticed this.
I saw that. I thought he did the old strutting Vince McMahon walk, but right. I might be wrong. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know who Vince McMahon is. No. What was the other name you said? I know who Conor McGregor. I know who that is.
You know why he kind of swaggers down?
Aye. Yeah.
That's based on Vince McMahon from the right. I'm not going to explain it to you.
Vince McMahon, that was the actor.
No, Jesus Christ.
No. Oh, I'm not getting Vince Vaughn. Move on.
Right, let's just move on from that. But yeah, it was, you know, we got there in the end with Steny. It was a 2-0 win. And as the most famous phrase, which we've heard all this weekend from every manager, at least we're in the hat. So that was it. And we got the draw right after the match. Dundee United or Spartans at home. What are you thinking, Ross? Because big sexy Lee Miller, who was doing the draw, that is an open draw if ever I've seen one.
Very, I'm liking it. I did see that he said that he drew Falkirk at home to Celtic in the practice round, which I could have been doing without. But I said this to a couple of people last night. We will be playing Spartans in the next round. They will not. Dundee United will not beat them. Dundee United.
Wait, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no,
I know Dundee United aren't having the greatest season, but Spartans, I know they're top of league too, but
on that pitch at Tannadice, that is a leveler. I'm not convinced that Dundee United.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be playing the Spartans, and if it is Spartans, you would fancy our chances at the Falkirk Stadium.
Well, listen, see if they beat Dundee United, they won't think anything of playing Falkirk as well. Either way, it's going to be a hard tie. But I think we will be playing the Spartans at the start of March.
Bloody hell, there you go. You've heard it here first. Dundee United will get a wee feeler of them a week on Saturday, or this Saturday. Jesus,
this Saturday.
A week on Saturday. God almighty. So it's getting to that time. We're getting there, though. We're getting there, Ross. We're almost in the home stretch. So 2-0 against Steny. Let's hear what you guys had to say. Chris kicks us off saying, low block from them was very good. They defended well, but offered zero going forward. Brad's goal was a beauty, and Barney's was great header. Just what you want from your striker. We lacked a little bit of creativity at times, but apart from that, we were never really in danger.
Brendan says, felt like far harder work than it should have been. Fair play to Stenisweir for blocking our play, but they didn't look much like scoring, although he does say not sure that we did either. But as several managers have said this weekend, when it comes to the Scottish Cup, the result is all that matters.
You get yourself in the hat, mate. That's what you do. Ian says, Larbert defended best. See this Larbert Grangemouth patter? That has to stop. Jesus.
I was guilty of it because I did their full time tweet as well. And that was just anyway.
Can I just say, Stenisweir Football Club are actually Stenisweir. Falkirk, we're going to say it's in Falkirk. People will claim it's going to. Don't start that argument.
Well, it is in Falkirk, though, because the address is Falkirk. But yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, Ian says Labrot defended very well. Keeper had a couple of decent saves. Their attacking was non-existent. Looked to be playing for penalties from kickoff to me. We could have done with some better finishing to see it off in 90 minutes.
Indeed. See, just what we're talking. Remember last week we were talking about if Falkirk were in a fake game, and we said like Forth Valley Blues or something like that. What would Stenismuir be? Like Toffee United or something like that.
Warriors. They would just put them in
just
as the Warriors.
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 Yeah, I suppose. Ek says that was a tough watch, but they parked the bus. To be fair, how they lasted as long as they did, fair play. Standout, I think, was Leon.
Well, there you go. Leon did have a good game. He was up and down and defended really well as well. Colin says struggled with the low block and didn't work. The Steny keeper enough. Felt we didn't move the ball as quickly as we usually do and allowed Steny to get back into their shape. Ultimately, all that matters is the win, though. Man of the match, probably Leon, but no one really shone out. Another one for Leon.
And then last but not least, Elsa felt like being back in League One facing Steny's low block, which was highly effective. Our final ball was poor, and had that been better, we could have had the game won by halftime. The main thing is, however, we got there and two good goals to win it. Looking forward to a home tie next.
What about the Falkirk supporters' header when I think it was the...
I saw that. That was good as well, wasn't it?
Was that an intentional header? Who was the header of the ball? Because that's every supporter's dream. The ball just falls out there and you just nod it back onto the park. But I don't think that was intended for his header.
I don't know. Do you know what? It looked like the guy who was speaking to me on the way in, though, were queuing, because obviously the shambles of the queue, right?
Yeah.
There was this guy beside, one of the guys near us, and he was like, "This is shocking. You need to talk about this on the podcast. This is like, we need to report this to someone." I was like, "Go tell your MP, because I can't do anything about this." Do you know what I mean? But yeah, no, bro, I think it was a wee accidental one, because he wasn't looking at the pitch at the time. Although the hat just like flies right off, didn't it?
It's amazing, absolutely amazing. You thought there should have been a sending off. Did you not see?
Yeah, well, I thought Buchanan. Absolutely. I'm trying to think who it was now that he absolutely pulled to the ground. Was it Barney? From memory, I think it might have been Barney. He absolutely smashed him and threw him to the ground. How that, like, how he's got away with that, I'll never know. I thought the ref was poor.
Yeah, I mean, the stats for the game, I've just looked it up because I thought I'll have a look at them. 73% to 27%, 23 shots to 4, 8 shots on target to 2. Goalkeeper save 6-2, God almighty. Corners 10-3. God, it was but still, like I say, defended well, Steny, and they did what they had to do. But you know, like I say, they just ran out of steam, and thank God for that, because I could not have handled penalties. I really couldn't have handled it, because it's just an absolute lot. He went there the last time, remember, when we got in a penalty shootout. Cole missed one, and you know, we were out the Challenge Cup, which probably in hindsight was a good thing.
So who's your Falkirk Daft rated for last night then?
I can only give it to Brad. Everyone's saying Leon here, and I feel bad, but I don't remember Leon absolutely standing out. But Brad with an assist, up and saying that his delivery was great last night, Brad. But he had it. He scored a great goal and he got an assist. So Brad,
I think Brad as well for the goal and the assist. And listen, he's. Again, he's one of these players that he's played an awful lot of football the last.
You've got to feel sorry for Brad, well, because he must have been thinking last night, "Oh, I'm going to get the night off. Thank goodness I've played, like I say, like Hendo, I've played every minute of every game possible. I'm going to get the night off. Dad McGlynn will let me off." But then there's his old favourite son as well. There you go, Bradley, back in.
And he picked the cutest wee girl for the armband handover as well, and the BBC caught that. Although I was a bit annoyed because the commentator's like, "Oh, that's a really nice thing he's done. Well, he does it every game. Just do your research."
Exactly. Well, there you go. You tell the BBC. We'll give it to Brad. So there you go. I'm sure he'll be delighted with his Falkirk after it. I think that might be Brad's first of the season, you know.
No, surely not.
I can't believe that. I think it's just like him and Hendo are so consistent, because when I'm looking down the list here, Hendo's got picked up a good few, but
no, I think you're right. Like, bloody hell.
So consistent, like, that you just
there forget. You go.
And that's why he's first name in the team sheet every week, you know, because that consistency. So, Brad's first Falkirk Daft rated of the season. Can't believe that. Daft Day, we're giving it to the queuing scenario, or I'm guessing the turnstiles.
Yes, probably. However, I want to give an an honourable mention for our pal Gary McLaughlin, because for most of the game he was obviously pretty drunk, and
Yes, he had at my house. He was like, "Oh, can I try one of those Venoms?" I'm like, "Aye, Gary, no worries."
well, he for the vast majority of the game, all he kept complaining about how the Aston Villa obviously won the coin toss, and they love shooting into the away end, and they're definitely going to score. That was all he kept saying for the full game, and obviously it didn't happen. But he was so drunk. Like at one point, it was like I was like I had listening to like that. You know that comedian Rosie Jones? It was like listening to her in my ear. He was so drunk.
That's Ross Wayne cancelled. But I saw Gary went up to high spirits as well
It's because he was off today.
I couldn't believe it. I was anyway. Well, do you know what Gary's been at before? So we'll give it to the turnstile
Give
fiasco.
it to the turnstile.
Right, there you go. So you've avoided this time, Gary. But yeah, there you go. Steny done, and we're in the hat for the next one, and we've got Dundee United. So wait and see. Could be, listen, we've got a best chance at, like, you look around the draw and you think, well, Motherwell will fancy it if they can get past Aberdeen. Because when Rangers and Celtic meet each other in the quarters, it means only one of them's left. Hearts are out now, Hibs are out now, and you're going, well, St Mirren, I think St Mirren will probably get past Thistle, but if that had been at Fir Hill, you would have thought, oh, Thistle got a wee chance of getting in there and all.
Listen, we'll look after ourselves, but it's open. It's wide open. This I don't wanna peak, like say anything rash. Like, and I know I'm the optimist here, right? But and I probably feel more confident about finishing fifth than I do about winning the Scottish Cup. But I just think, let's
A
see
trip
how
to
we go.
Hampden would be nice. I'd
A
take us
trip to
anywhere.
Hampden would be brilliant.
I'd
It
take
would.
us anywhere. So that's us, Scottish Cup out or not. Look ahead to Dundee quickly now. That's our next game up. We usually speak to Jim Gellie, but we're now just rushing through this so we can get our dinner and get up the road. Dundee Wednesday, what are you thinking? Who's going to play? Obviously, last time out, we had the Conor Allen's wonder goal, 2-1 at the stadium. At Den's, a bit tougher. We didn't play well at all. In fact, it was probably one of the worst performances of the season when I look back at it. When we played them up at Dens, it should have been a nil-nil in all.
A draw would have been a fair result
Yeah, I
in the
think so.
Denver game.
I think so. But what are you thinking for Wednesday? Because Dundee, I was really impressed with when they played against Celtic, and I mean, we were unlucky not to win that match.
They did all right. They've made a couple of decent signings in the window as well.
Ethan Hatton looks like a good player midfield, by the way.
So no, listen, it'll be a tough game, and we need to, like every game, we need to be on our A game. If we're not, we'll not get the points or any points. In terms of the team, Scott Bain will be in goals. I think Philippe Lisa will play right back. And that's just a guess. I don't know, have any insider knowledge, but I just think he's now back fitness wise. I think he'll start. Leon will be left back, and I think he'll revert back to Hendo and Connor, beg your pardon. I fully expect Brad and Dylan in the midfield. Kyrell, assuming he's fit and 100% fit, I think he'll start. Calvin, it's a toss up between probably Louis Marsh and Brogio. I think it'll be Marsh.
Do you think Vin Yeats is not coming at that
If
equation?
he does, it will be for Dylan. If he does start, that'll be for Dylan, I think. And then
And Barney
Barney
up front.
up top.
Barney up top, aye.
Would you any different to that, you thinking?
He might run out. He might get Brogio a run out in the 10. But I'd seen that Louis Marsh is like, he's done so.
Stats are looking all right.
So I think, yeah, so I think Louis probably starts. It'll be an interesting game. I mean, Dundee, league form-wise, have lost the last two and drawn one, albeit it was the old firm they were taking on. But 23 points, they'll be looking to, I mean, I think they're 6 points off of Kilmarnock. They could easily get dragged back into that because Kilmarnock look like they're about to hit decent form. Livingston, I mean, 11 points could be. I think they're going to really struggle to get back from that position. But yeah, I think Dundee under Elvis they've done all right, and I think he's starting to turn some heads around at Dens Park now in terms of, his attitude. And like I've always said, I've never heard players moan about Stephen. Even at Falkirk, you've
No,
never
no,
heard
no.
anyone
He's
complain about
very
him.
well liked. He's very well liked as a guy. He's as a coach. I think his signings in the January window have been far better than what he brought in the summer. I noticed there was a few left as well. You look at the recent run of results. Obviously, they did lose to Celtic. They lost fairly comfortably to Rangers, but they picked up a good point against St Mirren away. They beat Kilmarnock away. They narrowly lost to Hearts, which is no mean feat, and they beat Dundee United. So, outside the teams they were expected to lose against, who they did, they've picked up points. So they'll be looking at this game and thinking, Jesus, we've got a real good chance of getting 3 points here. And if they do get 3 points, they can potentially go into eighth above Dundee United. So there's a huge incentive for them. On the flip side, I don't think Dundee United and Aberdeen game will go ahead. As far as I can hear, I've been hearing a bit more. The weather forecast is still bad. It's still
We've
raining.
not
The
had
pitch is
sun in
shit.
Aberdeen for 19 days or something like that.
Aye. So so there's no chance the Northeast is having a game of football anytime soon. So from our perspective, you need, and this is where our incentive comes in. We're currently 8 points in front of Aberdeen. We're 11 points in front of Dundee United, assuming they do not play tomorrow, Wednesday night. A win for us takes us, what, 14 above Dundee United and 11 in front of Aberdeen. The top six is done. Top six is done. If we can get,
Bear in mind
if
that
that
Aberdeen,
results.
but if that is the case, and we play and we do win, Aberdeen will have two games in hand against us,
Whilst true,
and
one
Dundee
of them
United will
is
as well.
Celtic, one of the games against
Right,
Celtic. And obviously, this game against Dundee United, they're going to slit each other's throat there a little bit. The other thing is, we play Dundee United on Saturday as well. Now, again, it's all ifs, buts, and maybes if my auntie had boss. But again, if we could win on Wednesday, specifically if we're looking at Dundee United, we could be 14 points before Saturday in front of them. A win over United on Saturday, 17 points. That they're not coming, they're not hitting, they're not catching us.
It's a bit big games like Dundee United. I think especially on Saturday will be huge for us. Like if we were to it would get like even 4 points, I think, out of this kind of two
That would be
games,
brilliant.
I think
Brilliant.
that is huge. And I think you should then start going, a lot of people have been saying we'll be top six now, but I think if you get 4 points out of these two games, you can start going, I think we will be. Interesting. We'll see how it gets on. Score prediction for Wednesday night.
2-1 Falkirk. What are
To
you?
Falkirk, I will say it will be. I think we'll draw on Wednesday and I think we'll win on Saturday. So
Ooh.
I'll take a 1-1 against Dundee and I think we'll beat Dundee United on Saturday. That is my prediction. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's Dundee then, Dundee United. But before we go, say thank you very much to Falkirk Football Fans and Training. We're almost there, Ross. Falkirk Football Fans Training are down with the T8s Wednesdays at Stadium, 8:30 to 9:30. They've got the Elite Academy and Legends section as well as the over 50 section. I did see any of them at the game last night, actually. But they're always there or thereabouts. They go to hospitality. You can get fit for the new year. You can help your mental health. Meet a bunch of great guys down there every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. All the details on how to speak to the guys are below, or you can just check out the Facebook page. Just type in Falkirk Football Fans and Training, T8s. You'll get through to them, or speak to Ian, Willie, or Doogie. The link is in the bio for all those guys. Brilliant guys, and they've been supporting us all the way here on Falkirk Daft, and we love them for it. So thanks very much to the T8s, and thanks very much to Behind the Wall. And finally, Ross, we get to go into our beds. That is the main thing that's happening. My
Been a
wife's sitting
long
over
ass day.
here. I'm recording in the bedroom. She's knackered as well. She wants me to finish this podcast start so she can go to her bed. I can go to my bed. The dog's sleeping beside me already. It's tight. It's that time. The
What you're
telecommute.
saying is you're not getting lucky, though.
Well, she just heard you say that, so that's
All right,
definitely not going to happen now, Ross.
okay.
I've not got headphones on, you'll notice this. So you're
Yeah, good
speaking
show.
over the cloud speaker now, so that's good. So it's Teletubbies night night. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Get your merch, merch.falkertdaft.co.uk. Subscribe, like the channel, do all that nonsense that the kids say. And if you want to sponsor a show like Ryan has, you can do that as well. John@falkertdaft.co.uk, Ross@falkertdaft.co.uk. We're very, very cheap. We should do, like, we're obviously hosting the partners night at the lounge tomorrow night. We should definitely try and get some business there. We should.
Good shout. Yes, we should, listen.
This is an off-air conversation we're now having on air, by the way. So anyone listening to this podcast and partners lounge, and then suddenly approached by us tomorrow saying, "Give us some money."
Coincidence.
Just a coincidence. Yeah, right, listen, thanks for listening to Falkertaft or watching it, whatever you do this week. I'm talking shite now. It's time to get up the road. But before we do that, we've got to leave with the words we leave you every episode.
Expect unexpected, buddy. Wonder bounce.
Good night.
We're Falkertaft, we're Falkertaft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkertaft, we're Falkertaft. Listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkertaft, we're Falkertaft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkertaft, we're Falkertaft. We are Falkertaft.